a bit like this. It's not video. We'll give another minute. Then, yeah. You guys got chumashim for everybody?
Yeah.
To get kamar chumashim. I'm sorry how much we need them. I'll explain the title, and for some of you, part of it will be a review, and then I'll do a couple of new things. The topic is, first you explain me the title. Why the firstborn in Sefer Bereshit is never born first?
So, in the Torah.
What? In the Torah, okay. It continues. Like, who should be the firstborn of Am Yisrael, of the 12 Shvatim? Who should be the firstborn? Who should be? Who is born first?
Reuven.
Right? But who is Reuven the Bechor? No. And between Yaakov and Esav? I mean, it's a financial deal, but Esav was born first, but Yaakov sort of is firstborn, but even more than that. We'll see soon. Any other ones? Yitzhak and?
Yishmael.
Yeah, also, Yishmael was born first, and we get Yitzhak. Ephraim and... yeah, here we go again. He survives longer. But you follow what's happening? There's definitely a pattern. What I want to do is, I want to explain a little pattern which some of you are familiar with, but it's a nice review anyhow, and try to see what we can learn from it. Because there's a dialectic, of course there has to be a dialectic, of this. The concept of chosenness has an inherent problem. You realize that? You do things that are idealistic and they're important, but there's always a price to pay. And there's always this tension between, are you chosen from birth, and is it something, maybe you can call it genetic, that once you're chosen, and that's it? Or do you have to live up to your chosenness? And the idea of firstborn will be a nice balance between the two ideas. Now, of the people who were chosen, or was anyone chosen from the time, from before they were born, irregardless of how they're going to act when they grow up? Was anyone chosen in Sefer Bereshit, and their chosenness was already determined from before they were born? Yeah? What? No, I'm saying chosen to be Am Yisrael, I'm talking about.
Right?
It says so, doesn't it? And how about Yaakov? V'rav Yevot Seir, it sounds like it. Got that? Yeah. On the other hand, were some people got their jobs because of due to good behavior? Yosef and the Bechor. Got that idea? Do you see where we're going? No. I want to give a model, and again, for hopefully, for some of you, be a review, but it's probably a good review anyhow, and then we'll take it from there. There's three concepts, the three words which we're going to use to clarify things. And we're just defining them to understand Sefer Bereshit. I'm not saying this is what the word means in Hebrew, but this is what it refers to in the Shir. Okay. The three B's. One B is called Bechira. First I'll name them, then we'll explain them. There's Bechora and Baracha. We'll say them again. In English, Bechira, Baracha, Bechora. The big three. I'm not saying here's what the word means, I'm saying here's what I'm referring to. When I say Bechira, I'm talking about the Am HaNivchar, meaning the nation of Israel, that we refer to as the chosen nation. Why do we call them the chosen nation? Because they were chosen by God, entered the covenant to represent God. Once you're part of that nation, are you automatically chosen from the second you're born? Born Jewish, always Jewish? Yep. You can't get rid of it, you can't sell it, you can't renege it. That's it, you're Jewish. If you're not born that way, you have to do a whole process of Gyur. But Bechira is that idea of a nation, chosen to represent God, begins here. Was everyone born to Avram Jewish? No. And everyone born to Yitzchak wasn't Jewish either. Only from Yaakov they're all born. They're Jewish. But so there's a formative stage which isn't so crystal clear what's happening. That process of when do I reach, how do I finally get to the chosen nation, we're going to call that Bechira. I'll give you a model soon to... Everyone say my name is Bechira? The key words of Bechira God's giving you the Lazar Chaten, the idea of being a nation representing God. And a nation needs a land, it needs people. Bracha, again, or in English, bracha, is something that the father gives a child. Like we do Friday night, either get them or receive them. Give me examples of brachas that people give others in Chumash. Bracha, anyone give a bracha to anybody. Birchas Kohanim. That's borderline because we're blessing on behalf of God. You can argue. What? Yaakov blesses his children, yeah? What? Noach to his sons. Yitzchak to his kids. Moshe at the end of the book. It happens a lot. Ephraim, Yosef to Ephraim, I mean, Yaakov to Ephraim and Menashe also. Okay, so that's why I call bracha. Yeah. There's also Bechorah, which is our topic tonight, which is becoming the firstborn. So those are the three things, and that's the sort of leader of the Bechor. What's the Bechor get? And that's the big question, which we'll discuss, is the peace time the Bechor get is that responsibility or privilege, like Judaism, that will be big. Now, I want to begin with the Bechira, and this idea that God picked Avram Avinu to be the forefather of a nation, Parshat Lech Lecha. If you were Avram in Perek Yud Bet, and God told you, L'zaracha etein et haaretz hazot, before you have any children, what would you think about the fate, the destiny of your children? How many would be chosen?
All of them.
Why would you say all of them?
Because Zaracha doesn't exclude anybody.
That's right. Did God tell Avram Lech Lecha and only Sarah is going to be the queen mother? He said over and over again, Zaracha came after Lot left him in Perek Yud Gimel, what does he say? If you want to follow, you can look. Remember, look in all four directions. Ki choa arsa shata ro'eh, where's my bakore? L'chat nenu, l'zaracha. And in Brit Ben Apitarim, in Perek Tedvav, v'yomuhu krat Hashem, Avram Yidrit Nemor, l'zaracha natate ta'aretz hazot. There's no indication at all that he doesn't have any kids yet, but there's no indication it wouldn't be all of them. Sarah doesn't have children, and what happens in Perek Tedzayim? Sarah says, you know what? We'll use a low-tech method. You'll have a child. It'll be my child, but Hagar will carry the child. Okay? But when it's born, a surrogate mother. That's the word. We'll get a surrogate mother, but I'll be the mother, but she'll carry the child, and we get into problems. Everyone knows that story. But in Avram's eyes, Yishmael was his chosen son. If he had more kids from Hagar, there'd be lots of them. If he had kids from Sarah also. What happens in Perek Yud Zayin? Take a look. What does God say? Look in the end, towards the end of Perek Yud Zayin. Yeah. God tells Avram in the second parshia, around Pasuk Yud Zayin, around Chaf, around there. God tells Sarah, what's he tell her? That God tells Avram that Sarah has changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. And believe it or not, she's going to have a kid. What's Avram do when he hears that? He laughs, doesn't he? He laughs. And then what happens? And that God says, no. And Avram says, halavai Yishmael shouldn't live. And what's God said? No, Yishmael will be a great nation, but ved briti akim et Yitzchak. He says it once, and how does he say it again? What? What pasuk is vakimoti briti ito? Yotet. Vakimoti briti? Read the whole pasuk. In the next line? No, he'll be great, but not the chosen one. What did God tell Avram in Perek Yud Zayin? That the Bechira is only to Yitzchak, to the exclusion of Yishmael. That's a Chiddush. Now, I want to take a little break because I take something new for... I hope this is okay. You guys are old enough. Remember Avram laughs first there? And God says, don't take it seriously. The next Perek, who comes to visit Avram? Three Malachim. And first is all the Hechnasat Orchim stuff. But what did they really come to tell him? Remember? It's Ayesara Ishtecha. It's Inei Be'ohel. What did they say? We'll be back here next year and you'll have a kid. Sarah overhears it. What'd she do? She laughs. Okay. Then she gets chewed out, doesn't she? Mm-hmm. I don't think chewed out, but that's a nice word to get you away. What is God... And that's the first time God speaks. At least using him. But what's Hashem to Avram? Lama zet zechaka Sarah? The more, right? Haipalei Hashem devar? Sarah overhears this, I guess, Irene. And what's he say? Batechachesh Sarai. Don't know, I didn't laugh. And then what's Chumash explain? Why is she lying? What's she afraid of? Ever think about that? What's she afraid of?
Denying.
What? I think she's afraid of embarrassing her guests. Does she know it's God? She knows the guest. She doesn't know it's God. Maybe Avram figures it out. But the guest come and give her a message, right? And she's laughing and says, I don't want to, because when someone says something and you laugh at it, isn't that embarrassing? I do it all the time. I mean, I shouldn't. But you say something and then you realize, oh my, you embarrass somebody. According to my wife, I do it all the time. So you're saying, oh no, so you lie sometimes. I didn't mean to embarrass, I didn't mean to doubt you. It could be. Okay? But the amazing thing is, either God or Avram let the answer back. Lo ki tachakt. Why are they yelling at her? And then how does the story end? Next year, remember, this time, you have a kid. I think, again, there's a lot of depth there. At the simplest level of pshat, I think, that even though God promised Avram a child, something has to happen before they have a child. This is before Christianity. There's no immaculate conception. Avram and Sarah have to give it a try, don't they? Now, what are both of them saying? What did Sarah say? Right? And what did Avram say? Can I have a kid at age 100 and she's 90, right? And what's Sarah say? Right? What did Sarah say? What'd she say? Vadun Nizaken, right? And am I going to have Achrei Loti Eitilad Nav Vadun Nizaken? Both of them have tremendous doubts, and rightly so, that it's not going to work. So they're not going to try. And therefore, why does God send Malachim? It's almost like counseling. You got to give it a try. Again, it's, I guess I'm up for this, but you follow? I think it's the simplest level of pshat. Then it explains why there's so much detail about that. And there's tens of musa there also, that even though God promises you something, you know the holy shadlus for it. But if you don't, you have to do, God can promise, but you have to do your side. In case people are, you know the problem, people getting married or not getting married and stuff like that, and too many singles. So that was a little, you guys are almost too young for that, but when you, in 10 years from now, you need to hear that muscle if you're not married yet. No, that was a little timeout. Now back to our topic. That's something new. Back to our topic. Avram has every reason to think the Bechira is his, but God tells him, and only God decides, Ki Bitzach Yichel Chazara. Got that? How about Yitzchak? What should he think? Does God ever talk to Yitzchak? Tomorrow morning we'll read it in Shul. And yesterday we read it at Mincha. There's a rav in the land. There's a famine. Yitzchak decides, like his father, to go down to Egypt. And God says, you don't go. Oh, another little, as long as we didn't start the shir yet. Another little side thing. Did Avram do the right thing by going down to Egypt, the wrong thing? What? I want you to appreciate the machlokas. What's the machlokas? Some people say he did the right thing. Some say the wrong thing. Yeah. What's the logic? What's the proof that he did the wrong thing? Give me support. Not a proof, but give me support.
Sarah was taken.
Yeah.
What?
Sarah was taken.
So maybe Paro did the wrong thing. What? No, from this week's Parsha, what's the proof he did the wrong thing? Yitzchak wanted to do the same thing. What did God tell him?
Nope.
No, Shchon Baratz Hashem, Gur Baratz Hazot, I'll be with you. Right? So if God had to tell Yitzchak stay, what can I infer from there? Avram should have also. And then you can say, what's the right? See what happened to him? He got in trouble and the whole thing. No. Or what else you could say otherwise? Yitzchak said you can't go because Yitzchak was like, okay, whatever it is. But if Avram wasn't supposed to go, what would have happened? God would have told him not to go. Right? But it's okay to go unless God says not to go. So it depends what your default state is. You see, I can go either way? No. If it's wrong, what's Avram lacking? Emunah. Everyone heard that. No. What's the right thing? What does it mean to have Emunah? If you have Emunah in God, does that mean I take risks that are beyond practical? No, if there's a famine, and in Pshat, in Bederach HaTeva, I can't survive in the land. Not because I can only eat, what do you call it? I only have bread and butter if I stay in Israel. And if I go to Israel, I can go to Chutz, I can get ice cream. Right? If I'm going to starve staying in Israel, and if I go to Egypt, I can stay alive, Bederach HaTeva, then am I chayiv to go? Should I go? And that's what God wants me to do? Or does God say, have faith and God's going to come and save you? Don't you realize the difference between the two? Right? What does Nisha Munah do? And I can learn, I can prove either Hashkafa from Chumash, can I? Got what I'm getting at? That's when we said Macholket. It's so neat because both Hashkafot, you can support them. Now, Pshat is what I think, remember? I suppose. If God doesn't yell at Avram from going down, Same thing. When Avram lies about his wife, should he have emunah? I have to tell the truth and God will save me? Or because there's a good chance he's going to die if he tells the truth, is he supposed to lie? Because that's what you have to do to save your life. Right? So I told the truth. How's that going to help Sarah if he told the truth? Then they'll kill him. That's what if he's so worried about that, then he's doing the right thing. Or should have emunah that God will take care of him? Got that? No. If you follow the avot, they're always worried that they're not worthy from God. They believe in God. They're anshei emunah for sure. But they're always worried. Kantotim mikol hachasadim. Despite God's promises, they're not worried that God can't deliver. They're worried that they're not worthy of God's help. I think that's the most important thing to learn from the avot. That you have to live up to your chosenness, and if you're not worthy, you can lose some things. You won't never lose your chosen being Jewish, but God's special protection isn't guaranteed all the time. And emunah doesn't mean God will do what I want Him to do for me. And emunah means that God will do what's right for God to do, but I have to do my side as well. But again, I'm not coming to machriya the machloket, but it's interesting how I just want to show you how the two sides are so neat. But you can't. In the story in Chumash, generates the hashkafic argument, and there's room for both sides. And I want to show you the ambiguity in the story, which is so neat. Now back to our topic. That is the text, Gorbar Zazot. And I'll be with you. Finish me in the pasuk. Gorbar Zazot Ve'imcha Ba'avrachaka. Ki? Etenet. So, Ha'el. That's not God's name. These. El? Got it? According to that, what should Yitzchak think? If, let's say it's more than one kid, he shall be chosen. Look later on in Perek Chavav, in Pasuk Chav Gimel. He goes to Beersheba, he builds a Mizbeach like his father did. You know why all these stories are repeated, don't you? Remember all these stories are just like Avram's stories? That's obvious, isn't it? What do you learn from that? You can learn nothing, but I think there's something there that being Avram Avinu, that's something new and big. It's hard, but it's a pioneer. In some ways, it's easy being the first guy to do something. It's much more difficult to be the next generation, to do what Avram did and do it not being the first guy. And not starting the company, but keeping it going. It's no laughing matter. Pun intended. The idea of I think there's a lot of depth in these stories repeating what Avram did, doing it his way, but the fact that Avram did something, not just as one time thing, but establishing a nation that's going to pass it from kid to kid, and not being all the big, I'm not the big Mecharesh, I'm just keeping something going. It's one of the forefathers to get that idea across. Then there's Yaakov, the survivor. Look at later on in Pasuk of Gimel, he goes to Beersheba. What's God tell him there? He's Korei B'Shem Hashem. What's God tell him? If you heard that, what would you think? All my kids are chosen, right? All my children. Why not? Wouldn't they be? So what? That's Perek Chavav. It's almost the end of Chavav. How does Perek Chav Zayin begin? Yitzchak is getting old. And what's he decided to do? He says, who's he decided to bless? All of his kids? Just Esav. And what's the assumption? It's Esav. It's either Esav or Yaakov, right? Who's going to continue this legacy of Avraham Avinu? And I have a choice between one kid or the other kid. But you know what mehechatesa means? Where's it coming from? You learned that already in yeshiva here? Where's it coming? What's his havamina? What's leading Yitzchak to think that only one kid's chosen? Good question. Why, if God tells him all your kids are chosen, why is he deciding that only one's chosen? And more than that, why is it up to him? Who should decide Bechira? It should be God's decision. Why is he intervening? And who told him he can do it? Big question, right? That's the question is better than the answer, we'll see. What's he up to? Why is he picking one kid over the other? No. To answer that is why we get definitions. That's assuming that what's Yitzchak up to? That he's giving out the Bechira. But look carefully at what he planned, the blessing that he planned to give Esav. How can I figure out what blessing he planned to give Esav? It's a blessing he got, Yaakov got with trickery. Read the blessing. It's what's it, Shishi? Yeah. What pasuk is Shishi? Good. What? Chavchat. Yeah. Read it. Got it? Everyone have it?
He's saying that's
drush. What's that mean? What should God give you? Prosperity. Does that say is that Lezarecha Teinat Haaretz Hazot? Is that you, the exclusion of your brother? What should you be? You should be a rich man. Be wealthy. Does Yaakov give similar blessings to his kids? Ben Porat Yosef, remember? A lot of a blessing and prosperity is a father can give his kid. You should be a good businessman. Next line. You should be a big shot. Next line is most important. What's that mean? What are you in the family? The lead. Now we talk about Bechora. Is Yitzchak telling Esav, I think he's Esav, that you're the only chosen son and it's only your kids into the exclusion of Yaakov? Or is he telling them that you're the family leader? If I take the parallel, we have the same words by Yehuda later on. I tell you, Duchach Yishtach V'lecha B'nei Mecha. It's a bracha of Yaakov to Yehuda. So what I want to suggest is Esav has no intent, Yitzchak has no intention of picking one son over the other for the purpose of Bechira, because that's not up to him. But what does Yitzchak think? They're both chosen. Does that make a lot of sense? And therefore, what blessing is he giving Esav? He's giving him first bracha of prosperity, and he's also giving him the leadership of the family. He's going to be the Bechor. Would it make sense that later on he'd give a blessing to Yaakov as well?
Yeah.
But if Esav's the leader of the family, what kind of bracha would Yaakov get?
Good follower bracha.
What?
Follower bracha.
No, but what kind of job would he get?
Serving Esav.
Why serve Esav? There's someone else you can serve. Why can't he be yeshiva bachar? Why can't he be a judge? Why can't he be a teacher? Chas v'shalom. He can be and go into chinuch if he can't get into medical school. Why can't he? Now, if you're Yitzchak, and your assumption is both my children are chosen, I have two shvatim, and someone's got to be a leader, and I got two kids, yeshiva bachar, nishtam yeshiva olim, and I got a macher, a hunter, a businessman, a guy who's made himself. And if I'm blinded, that I can't say anything bad, like it never happened before, that a father can't say anything bad about his kids, only sees the good side of them. My kid, of course. If that's the way a father sees things, then picking Rav Amital, it's hard to say, that's all. It's Rav Amital, you say all the time on this parsha, you would say, anyone who's in chinuch knows exactly why Yitzchak gave the bracha to Esav. Because all these little kids who are like wild kids when they're little kids, they can become a gadol. These goody-goody kids, they're goody-good, but nothing ever comes out of them. Because they get no yetzer, you have a kid full of yetzer, I can channel that. And they need the bracha, you follow? But with good guidance, they can become somebody. It's a sign that there's energy there. So all this wildness, this can be somebody. So if it's both of them, Yaakov Yitzchak would want to give a bracha of let him be the yeshiva student and let Esav be let him run the country. What we call nowadays Yisachar Zvulun. Everyone's heard of Yisachar Zvulun? Or if you're a fundraiser for a real yeshiva, what do? You're running a business, you run the economy, we'll do you a favor so you don't feel guilty. Give some of your money and someone will sit and learn, and that way you'll get bracha in your business. And he'll sit and learn, and it's a win-win. Millions are raised that way. It's a healthy approach, and that's what Yisachar Zvulun's about. There's nothing wrong with that. The question is that the ideal that you can argue if you're is that machloket also a big one. Now that seems to be what Yitzchak's up to. Who intervenes? Why does she intervene? What does she know? Does she know something Yitzchak doesn't know? Who told her that? Did God ever talk to her? Did God talk to a female?
Through Shem.
According to Chumash, does God talk to her?
Yeah.
You couldn't have anything more specific. Bayomer Hashem, La. V'telech Rosh et Hashem, not Shem, Hashem. There's nothing wrong with the Midrash that Hashem ben Noach. But Chumash emphasizes Hashem. Vayomer Hashem la, to the exclusion of lo. God tells her and not her husband. Shnei goyim bevidech, shnei lu'umim. That's not two brothers in there. What is that? That's two nations. That's a real shul. there's real machloket. There's two nations there. Shnei goyim bevidech, shnei lu'umim mimechi peredu. And only one of them is going to be Am Yisrael. And most likely the younger one. She didn't say Yaakov by name, but Rav Yehud Seir. Ramban says that, Ramban explains here that Rivka thought, because you know she went to Beis Yaakov and he was Yeshiva Bacher, that my husband knows everything. So if I know Kal Vachomer, he knows. You know, 40 years later, she realizes he doesn't know as much as, I'm just making sort of in jest, but seriously, she might have assumed that he knew already, or maybe she knew that this is something she needs to know, but by the time we get to the blessings, it's too late to tell Yitzchak. Because if Rivka would tell Yitzchak now, 60 years later, was it 60 years later? Even later, more than that. After they're born. If you would tell him later, what would Rivka think that Yitzchak would think? I'm not saying that Yitzchak wouldn't believe her, but Rivka would be worried that Yitzchak wouldn't believe her. Why? Because if I go and tell my husband 6 years, but when I was pregnant, God came to me in a prophetic dream and told me that only one's chosen. What would Rivka think that Yitzchak would say? You're making it up. You love your kid too much. The whole thing. She'd be afraid to tell him. That could be one. Or she knows. Maybe she understands that there's a reason why God told her this. Is sort of what's called emet pnimit. I think that's what motivates her to do what she does. But she knows it's going to go one more generation. And maybe she thinks that Yitzchak knows that as well. But she wants to make sure it's going to go to Yaakov and not to Yitzchak. Again, the whole topic of Rivka is I'm just using this model to explain what's going on. Now, there's a, let me give out a page now, which explains what we're doing. Here, pass this around as this goes that way. And these go out this way. Pass this there. What? What happened? Oh, no. It's more fun with markers in different colors. I don't have it as good. I should have. There's a better picture. Okay, this one's fine. Look at the first thing, Yitzchak versus Rivka. See that? What we think? See the top left box? What do we think? What do we know? Right. Avram's chosen. Yitzchak's picked. And Ishmael's rejected. Yitzchak has one son. What we think. That's the way we think. We understand. I now realize what I wrote. what Yitzchak is up to. That was the first one, is what we think Yitzchak is up to. What's he up to? That Yitzchak can only pick one son. And then that son will be the chosen son. And he'll have the 12 Shvatim. How many kids does Esav have? Last count. What? Esav? How many Nisim come out from Esav? Isn't it 12? Yishmael's got 12. Yeah. Or there's 10. There's a whole bunch. Who else has 12? Nahor's got 12, doesn't he? 8 and 4? No. That has nothing to do with this year. No. What does Yitzchak think, though, that he has to pick between Yaakov and Esau? Oh, no, Yitzchak thinks, but that was our Chiddush now. What's Yitzchak think? No, that's what we think he's up to. But what Yitzchak really thinks in our share is that both children are chosen, and there's two tribes. And the Bechira process ended with Yitzchak. Okay. What does Rivka know? That's going to be Yaakov. You follow? Or if I want to use algebra, what I like to say is, Avram thought that N equals 1. I mean, that this converging process, I call the Bechira process, that only one generation and that's it. Right. God tells Avram in Brit Milah that N equals 2, or N is greater than 2, N is greater than 1, at least 2. And therefore, it's going to be one more generation. Yitzchak thinks N equals 2. Rivka knows N is greater than 2. Anyway, now, just to appreciate this, that's going to explain Yosef's dreams. Because if N was already equal to 3 already with Yaakov, what might be? N might equal 4. Now, why can't N equal infinity? Because it's not about an MVP, it's about a nation. So n can't be infinity. It's got to stop somewhere, but who says? Maybe it can be 5 or 6 or 7. No, it's the whole process. That could be. What's Yosef, if I take Yosef's dream superficially, what's it sound like he's dreaming? That he's going to be a star, but he's the chosen son. He's the chosen son to the exclusion of everybody else, or at least the exclusion of B'nai Leah and B'nai Shepachot. Maybe just B'nai Rachel. That's a logical conclusion. Is that what he's dreaming? Could be. What do the brothers think he's dreaming? They think that's what he's dreaming, and they don't like that dream. And they try to undo it. And they learn from their mother, you can use trickery to play with the process. So that explains, now, but let me jump to the conclusion because it's important. Okay. What does Yosef finally realize? Was, all the brothers think the dream is about n equals 4, and who's in, it's going to be another, you know, be another generation, or at least that only one of the families is chosen. And then Yosef thinks his dreams were just a dream. When his brothers come to Egypt and bow down to him, all of a sudden, remember, wake up, Yosef, what's he realize? Then you remember, but he remembers his dreams when he sees him bow down. But what's Yosef realize about his dreams? What's his dream telling him? The what is he? Is he the Bechor, the Baruch, or the Bechor? What's his dream? It's the elephant in the room. What?
Bechor, that's exclusion of other people. He's just like the head.
Yeah. What's the proof that all 12, how does the dream tell you that all 12 brothers are chosen? Because there's 11 stars, aren't there? Mm-hmm. Bowing down to him. And they're all bowing down. He's the leader. Hadekvir Lachecha. But they're all chosen. No one had the Hava Minute that they're all chosen. If anything, who would be chosen? Either it could be the process ended with Yaakov, but there's only one wife. Only one wife worked for Avram. He's only had one wife. And who was Yaakov's real wife? Who is he called Ishti? Atem yedetem kishnaim yada Ishti. Right? Rachel. How many? Rachel has two shvatim, and that's it. Now, that's what Yaakov would want. Who does God seem to be favoring? All through the story, who gets God's rachmanis all the time? That's Leah, isn't it? So I have indicators that God wants Leah. Right? Yaakov very much wants Rachel, and that might be the mavach. But who's the queen? Who's the queen mother? Is that the good? Right? But who's the chosen mother? And whose kid to be Am Yisrael? Let's say n equals 3. But who are the shvatim? Is it two shvatim? Yosef and Binyamin, or is it six shvatim, the children of Leah? What did no one ever even dream of? I mean, someone did dream of, but no one. That what? Even Bnei Shfachot? We know there's all 12 tribes because we have the Choshen, but I don't think they realize that. No one that Bilhan Zipat's kids are going to be chosen. Again, why? There's no precedent. Hagar's kids weren't. Keturah's wasn't. Why should the Shfachot's kids be chosen? I understand it's either Rachel or Leah. Maybe even both. I doubt that. It's everyone thinks it's one. That's what's so neat about Yosef's dream. Because what's God telling Yosef? Surprise, they're all chosen. I don't think even Yaakov realizes that to the end. Because he thinks it's one. He thinks it's, you know, when Yosef's gone, he thinks it's over. Yeah. Because you what? What? They're also human. No. You're assuming that they know ahead of time there's 12.
I'm saying
there's a magic. Yeah, of course, that's the answer. Because there's a 12 is a magic number through the story. But that's the midrash, like, that everyone knows what's going to happen. There's something happening in the future. But at a simpler level, that's something. That's why Yosef's dream, that's where he realizes that they're all chosen, everybody, and we're one big family. And what's Yosef's job? It's not to be the only one, but to be the leader. And what's the leader have to do? He has to unite everybody. And what he does is therapy. That's already in psychology. What he's doing, he's trying to redeem the family and give them a chance to redeem themselves. Not to see if they've done tshuva, but to help them do tshuva. If you know psychology, it's therapy. You know, it's that they have to prove themselves that they've changed their ways. Not to say I'm sorry, but to actually do something to show that they've changed. Yeah.
What exactly made Yaakov realize that?
No, Yosef.
Yosef, sorry. So when the brothers
Why did Yosef think that his dreams were just a dream? and not real nevuah. Right? How does he know it's not nevuah? Why would he think it's not nevuah? It's a dream. It's not nevuah. God doesn't speak to him. It's a dream. A dream is, what did Chazal say? Echad mishishim. It might be, but maybe not. Is it or not? We don't know. What seems to convince him that it couldn't be, it's not the real thing? Because he's in Egypt. He's kicked out. They sold him. And that's what seems that what God wants. Doesn't mean he's bad, but he still believes in God, but he's not the chosen son. Because that's the Bechira process. Okay? When does he all of a sudden realize, oh my gosh, it was something real? When? And bow down. Ah, now it clicks.
Why can't it be that he's...
And now he knows how to interpret dreams, doesn't he? He's a pro at it by now. Now he's got experience. He's already, you know, a fourth year. He's a post-grad already in dreams.
Why doesn't
by time, but you understand when he comes down? He's catching on.
Why does he think that he's going to, like, it just reverse back to him now? The Bnei Leah are out again. They're bowing down to him.
12! If there's 12, that means they're all chosen. And he's the Bechor.
As opposed to one,
or opposed to two, or opposed to six. That's why the 12, in hindsight, it's staring at you, the dream. But that's what's so neat about it. And I think that's what motivates his behavior. The six. Okay? So what I'm doing is, when you understand those three concepts, Bechira, consistently that's God's decision. God decides that, and only God. Bechora, we'll see. Bracha is up to the Father. And when does the father give brachot? On his deathbed. That's what Yitzchak's doing, because he thinks it says so. I don't know when I'm going to die, and he's getting old. Yaakov gives on his deathbed. And Yaakov, before he gives the brachot, what does he do first? In Parsha Vayechi. He doesn't give brachot right away to the 12. What's he do first? He calls in Yosef. And what's he give Yosef? Bechorah, doesn't he? Ephraim and Menashe are like Reuven and Shimon. He gives Yosef the chelek bechorah. And that proves what we're talking about with the same thing that Yitzchak did with Esav. Before he blesses all the kids, first he chooses who's going to be the leader. And he wanted Esav to be the leader, and then Yaakov would get the bracha, or, you know, whatever bracha he's going to give him. That's why when Esav comes in later on and says, hey, can I get a bracha? He says, your brother came and took your bracha. And therefore, I can't give Esav the bracha to be a rabbi, because he's not fit for that. But then Esav says, don't you have anything for me? And what does he give him? He gives him, but he gives him prosperity, because that you can share. Leadership, you're in the bullpen, right? If he falls, you'll take over. Because Yitzchak's still in the model of N equals 2. Afterwards, Rivka talks to him. Now, okay, so that's the, understand the models we did here? Let's explain. Now, one last thing which ruins the share is, look in Perek Chavchet in the beginning, after Esav wants to kill Yaakov. Remember Esav wants to kill a guy? Everyone knows the story. And Rivka sends him away to get a life, right? And to save his life. And then Yitzhak sends him away to get a wife. That's supposed to be funny. But remember the two? Remember, Rivka sends him, save your life, you'll get a life, and run away, and I'll call back for you. And then Yaakov tells him, go get a wife. No. After he tells him to get a wife, he gives him a bracha, right? Look in Pasuk Gimel, in Perek Chavchet. What does he tell him? What? It ruins my shir, doesn't it? What's he saying? V'kel shalei v'reichotcha, v'yafrecha, what? That's isn't that Bechira? You couldn't define Bechira any better than that. So what's the problem with that now? That's up to God. Why does Yitzhak now it's clear that Yitzhak realizes N equals 3. Now there's no doubt. And now he's picking Yaakov. But why is it up to him? Now tell me, look at the pasuk again, tell me the answer. I will save this year. After we ruined it. What? Does Yitzhak give him the bracha?
No.
What does he bless him? That God should give him. Now it's perfect. He doesn't say that I'm giving it to you. Now I know that N equals 3 because he talked to Rivka already. Now they had some tea. They realize what happened. Remember, Yitzhak was charid. He realized something's going on with this charada, and now Rivka explained it to him. Now he knows it's one more generation. Now it's time to get a wife and life the whole thing. And now he's hoping, because it's up to God, what's he rooting for now? If it's only one of them, for sure it should be Yaakov. But does he decide? No. He wants God to decide. Does God ever decide? Does God say, you're the chosen one? Does that ever happen? Three psukim later. He goes to sleep. And what happens in the middle of the night? He has his first prophecy. And what's God tell him? I'm the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Va'aretz asher shochev aleha. That's Bechira, isn't it? God confirms it. Now, so in the Bechira process, that's up to God. And why God picks different people, that's from birth, that's God's decision. Bracha is totally up to the Father. Correct? Which makes sense, because he gives out based on the kid's thing, but that's only after the Bechira process is over. Yeah, question real quick?
Why here does it say the name Kel Shakai? It's very unusual. All the names
of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he uses the most seemingly uncommon. Okay, that's a Shurim Brit Milah. No, the bracha here is all the code words from code words. It's all the themes from Brit Milah. Kel Shaddai, the Rishet Eretz Megurecha. I think Eretz Kanan is probably here also. Be'afrachad Pruorvu. Just compare that to Perek Yud Zayin. Compare it later on to the bracha in Beit El and Perek Lamed Hei when Yaakov gets the Bechira. But that's too complicated. But, you're on the mark, but there's the wording here is meduyak, but that's Shem Elokim. That's ooh, not for so late at night. But you're right, but out of the Hamalach Hagod. Yeah. That name goes with Yaakov all the way through. Same kosher. It's more with Yaakov with anybody. If you want to see a nice explanation, read the Ramban in Perek Yud Zayin in Breshit. When God first introduces himself as Kel Shaddai. So he explains what that name represents about the guy who takes care. It's a guy who, B'derech HaTeva, helps with Kol Shnis Nistar. He was watching his back and taking care of his life. And also helps with children. Now which is Pru of Ruin Brit Milah, and changing the names and everything. Now, back to things. So again, Bechira is totally up to God. Bracha up to the Father. Bechora, defaults by now. Bechora defaults to whoever's born first. Why? Because Bechora is about responsibility. Why should it default to the firstborn? The firstborn first, because he's the oldest. And when the father dies, he takes over the family. It makes sense it should go to him. And that's why he gets a double portion, because it helps him deal with his responsibility. But what happens if the default son, the firstborn son, doesn't live up to that responsibility? There's room, if Bechora's leadership, it defaults to the person born first, but the son born first can lose that leadership, and it'll go to someone more worthy. If you want to see a great pasuk about how complicated it is, if you have a whole Tanakh, you don't have a Tanakh. Someone with the Tanakh will read it for us. Divrayim Aleph Perakeh. About how complicated the Bechora is. Divrayim Aleph Perakeh. Look what happens there.
Which pasuk?
The first one's good.
Nei Reuven Bechor Yisrael. Kihu HaBechor.
Who's the Bechor? Oh my gosh, Reuven. There goes the shir. Continue. He messed up, and God gave the Bechor, and the Bechor went to Bnei Yosef. Why Bnei Yosef? Reuven, Ephraim, and Menashe, Reuven, and Shimon. Keep going. Keep going. So, Yehuda gavar bechav, hevei kfir lachecha, is Yehuda. But Yosef, the Bechora goes to Yosef and to what he called, and to Yehuda. What happens historically? Who takes leadership of Am Yisrael? Yehuda or Yosef?
Both.
Yosef or Malachim?
Both.
It also, got it? It's if it's not understood properly, it turns into Pilugam Amlacha. If understood properly, it can become Achut Beit David and Mashiach Beit David and Mashiach Yosef. Each one with different leadership characters. Why do Yehuda and Yosef get leadership? They earn it. Which is, you understand that when I'm getting into the dialectic? In a certain sense, you're chosen because you're chosen, that's who you are. But just because you're chosen doesn't mean everything's automatic. You have to earn and be worthy of your chosenness. And you have to rise. And the leadership characters, leadership should go to the people who are worthy. And the same thing in everything. Like someone's, he has Yerusha, he's next in line, but he has to live up to to his position. Now, when Yaakov wants to buy the Bechora, does he want the financial side of the Bechora? Does he want, is it a business deal? Or does he want the responsibility? And when Esav doesn't want the Bechora, is it because he would want it, but he's going to die anyhow? He's, if he doesn't get the soup, like, is Yaakov squeezing him because he's going to die in 2 minutes if he doesn't get the soup? Or he's saying, I'm going to die in the future, like Chazal understand. And therefore, he couldn't care about the Bechora. He'd sell it for a bowl of soup because he has no meaning. Destiny means nothing to him. And Yaakov sees it important. And therefore, two brothers, when a younger brother sees that the person who leadership is defaulting to is doing a lousy job running the shul, then someone younger has to take action and strive to take leadership when he's the right person for the job. Again, what to do in real life? It's something good, but also something dangerous. Because you have to be sure you're really worthy and really be sure the guy who's in charge is really unworthy. But hopefully, that's life. Those are real rough decisions later on. So that was the idea of Bechira and Bechora in the story. So I tried to give a model to explain how the process works. And using that model of Bechora, Bechira, and Bracha, you can appreciate how things develop. And the coolest thing is how Yosef, when he understands his dreams, takes leadership, and his goal is to unite the family and keep them together. And how he sees Hashkacha. What's he say? You might have had bad things, but there's a bigger picture going on here. But I'd like to use Yosef if you remember when you're like 3-4 years old in Ghana in nursery school, did you ever get into a fight with other kids and like, what was the most terrible thing? He stole your cookie or something like that, or, whoa, you were so angry, but no. When you come home, when the parents hear that, to them it's a joke, right, the whole thing, the little kids. But to the 3-year-old, whoa, it's a really serious thing, this is a big thing. But an adult, that's what, arguing over a couple, that's like nothing. So when they're younger, the brothers, so they're fighting, but Yosef, when he gets older, he sees such a bigger picture. The whole argument is little kids, it's like nothing. That's like, Yosef, there's a bigger picture going on here. There's a nation being developed, there's mankind, there's survival, there's thing. Yosef says, get over it. It's not easy for them to get over it, but he's, it's not that he's keeping it inside and playing. I think he really is above it. And the best way to solve these baby machlokot that we have is when you see something, a higher goal, something bigger, you realize how minute they are and don't get hung up on these little, burgess games, these little argument things. In case you want a little muscle. Now, back to, I think we're finished, almost. Wait, did I get the topic? It was why the firstborn isn't born first. It's not, that's the dialectic in the Bechira process, where certain things are predetermined by God. That's what they are. No matter how good or bad you are, you're Jewish. On the other hand, leadership within Am Yisrael it goes by worthiness. And you can rise to worthiness, and it's based on your behavior. And even though it defaults to the firstborn, even though he's born first, doesn't mean he automatically gets it. If someone's more worthy, or the first person born first loses it, and almost all the stories explain how we know how Reuven lost it, we know how Shimon and Levi lost it, we know how Yehuda gained it, and how Yosef gained it. Based on their behavior, and hopefully you guys can become Yehudas and Yosefs and do something. Okay.
Thank you.
Who's the, how do we turn this off? Yeah.
Oh, you're the
SOY?
Yeah.